The Universal and Imagine Entertainment logos are shown. Curious George 2, Follow That Monkey, voiced by Tacey. Cast includes the voices of Tim Curry as Piccadilly, Jeff McNeil as Kayla, Jeff Bennett as Ted, and Jamie Kennedy as Dano Wolf. Based on the books by Margaret and H.A. Ray. Screenplay by Chuck Tapley. Directed by Norton Vergian. Music by Eitor Pereira. Original music by Carbon Leaf. California Sun, performed by Brian Wilson. Following the credits, an animated view of a yellow and blue building in New York City is shown. It nestles amongst other brightly coloured skyscrapers. A monkey scampers along a high-rise window ledge towards the fire escape. En route, he jumps over a window box that is being watered by a lady. Good morning, George. He jumps onto the fire escape and somersaults downwards without using the ladder. He leaps across towards a flagpole. The American flag is attached to the end of the rope. Up she goes. Well, I hate to be a bomb. He abseils downwards, causing the flag to rise. Letting go, he bounces onto the blue-striped canopy of the building's entrance. George swings around it to the amusement of the doorman. He jumps onto the roof of a passing bus. Ivan the doorman waves him goodbye. George swings from the traffic lights hung out over the road to catch a downtown bus. George scratches his head and he views a multitude of neon signs. He passes a massive tennis racket and ball and leaps up onto the ball, slides onto the racket and is launched across to a massive can of fizzy fruit drink. He slides down the flowing liquid and jumps across to a rocket that launches him towards the ticking hands of a clock on a hoarding advertising frantic express. A pile of newspapers are delivered to a stand.
Hey! The comics are good today, George. Okay, I'll put it on your tab. Enjoy!
George takes a copy of City News and heads for the park. He waves at two kids playing games on their handheld consoles and then sits on top of an inactive fountain. Live and learn and grow along every path we go. Suddenly, water erupts and George is on top. He uses the water spout to grab hold of a passing girder and waves goodbye to the kids. Only one waves back. He arrives home, going through a window. He goes over to a table and opens his paper. An advert reads, "Now appearing, Piccadilly's Circus of Magic." An elephant is also shown. He looks over his shoulder, showing a picture with him sat on the back of an elephant. Hearing snoring, George throws down the paper and rushes over to a human figure slumped down over a computer. The man's cheek is pressed to the keyboard, causing a continuous stream of Zs across the monitor screen. Landing on the bed, George jumps on the man to flatten him out. He uses all his strength to roll the man onto his back. The man picks up two brochures, one in each hand. He presses them to him. George bounces on his chest.
Okay. Now I'm awake. 7:45? Oh, no! I'm late!
He trips over the bedsheet. The man races towards the door, dressed in yellow trousers and shirt. He's adjusting his tie. George tries to get his attention.
Sorry, George, I don't have time for the paper today. I'm late for my meeting with Mr. Bloomsbury. Wish me luck.
He grabs a yellow hat and leaves. George puts down the paper.
Reason 12. I organize all the pencils in the museum according to size and sharpness. Reason 24. I arrange for the toothbrushes of the British Royalty exhibit. Display case. Whatever. Reason 33. I color-coded the color code labels. Sorry, I'm late, Mr. Bloomsbury.
Four!
Cool!
A golf ball sails over his head.
Since you announced your retirement, I've been thinking, and I've put together 50 reasons, 35 sub-reasons, and a handful of compelling arguments why, of all the candidates to replace you, I should...
Ed, you're not one of the candidates.
Oh, thanks for seeing me, sir.
You're the only candidate.
I am?
Yes. I couldn't imagine leaving the Bloomsbury Museum in the hands of anybody else.
Not even Junior Bloomsbury?
My son? Oh, heavens no. He has other ambitions. You've earned this, Ted.
Me? A museum director? Wow!
And all you've got to do is get approved by the board of directors at their annual meeting next week.
The board of directors? But they're powerful, intimidating men. With mustaches and male pattern baldness.
Relax, Ted. They're just as scared of you as you are of them.
Really?
Absolutely. No, wait, that's bears. Anyway, just tell the board your vision for the museum. Make them believe in you. Inspire them.
He hits a golf ball. Ted grabs a vase. The ball ricochets off a helmet, a shield, a light shade, and lands in the vase itself.
Oh. Okay. Sure, I can do that.
He leans against the shelf, and the vase smashes to the ground. A dinosaur skeleton and other remains are in a room.
Ted, all of your hard work is finally paying off, and I'm very proud of you. But even future museum directors need to take a little time off.
But I've only got 1 week to put together my whole priorities for the future presentation. Most people only talk about the future, not me. I put it in a binder. Oh, hi, George.
George enters through the window and pulls Ted towards it. Across the road, a giant poster for the circus, complete with elephant, adorns the Metropolitan Theatre.
You want to see the elephant? Sorry, George, not today. I gotta pick the colors for my bar graphs. Today I'm thinking earth tones. Has anybody seen my bar graphs?
Bar graphs.
Huh. Hey, mustard's a good color.
Ted, all this important stuff isn't the most important stuff. You need to think about your loved ones.
You mean George? I think of him all the time. Those aren't toys, George. See? Just thought of him again.
Ted, the people you really care about and who care about you need your attention now. Or there may not be a later. Do you understand?
Looking up, he smiles.
Sure, I understand. I do.
She lifts her face to be kissed.
Hey, George, pack your smile. We're going to see the elephant.
George spins on the globe of the world and then leaps into Ted's arms.
You see, I totally caught your drift. We are so in sync. See you later, Maggie. Hey, you want to come too?
The magic circus poster hangs above the doorway to the theater. George, Ted, and Maggie walk down the aisle to take their seats. A security camera picks up their image.
Peculiar?
George waves to everyone. As they near their seats, the room darkens and sparkling lights spin across the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct your eyes center stage as we present, direct from London, that's in England, the great Piccadilly!
He arrives in a puff of blue smoke.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I shall endeavor to amuse you with prestidigitation, mesmerization, legerdemain, and other large words. Ah, Tina, my lovely assistant. If you would kindly step into the enchanted cabinet. Behold the insupposable metamorphosis of woman into waterfowl.
Ted sneaks a peek at his presentation folder.
And now, for an outstanding wonder hitherto unseen by civilized man.
Once back inside the cabinet, Piccadilly foot presses a switch and the bird is dropped through the trapdoor. Tina is sprung up to take its place. Piccadilly reveals the magical transformation. Ted bends to retrieve his folder.
Now tell me, does anyone here like blowing bubbles? Well, next time, try this!
He dips a giant hoop into soapy suds to create a massive bubble. He pops the bubble and reveals a little blue elephant.
Kayla! Two-ton juggling pachyderm!
Tina throws Kayla coloured balls to juggle with. George turns somersaults on his seat as he watches Kayla slowly lift alternate legs as the balls twirl. Kayla finally crashes into a piece of scenery, causing it to fall. The soapy water bowl is knocked over. Kayla skids in it, turning rapidly around and comes to a halt in the spotlight. George peeps at her from behind his paws. Piccadilly strokes Kayla's trunk.
Oh, Kayla, there's no spunk in your trunk, no pep in your proboscis. And no cause for alarm. Elephants do not forget, but sometimes they do get stage fright. Now, for the next trick, I require a volunteer from the audience.
Ted.
Oh, right.
Yes, you, sir. The man with the yellow hat.
Me?
Please, sir, join us on stage.
Oh, gee, I have a bad case of stage blight. Fright, obviously.
Go on. It'll be fun.
Fun?
George encourages him.
I'm good. I'm fine.
Heavens, what a fluorescent chapeau. May I?
Well...
Oh, trust me.
Piccadilly taps Ted's upturned hat. Doves magically fly out of it and perch on Ted's head and shoulders.
Sir, I'd like you to help me make this elephant vanish. All you have to do is say the magic words Pachydermatous Vamoosicus.
Pachydermatous Whatsicus?
Close enough!
He presses down on the foot switch, and in a puff of smoke, Kayla disappears.
Thank you. I'm sure you wish this would work on the mother-in-law.
George, it's just a trick.
No problem. I'll deal with the jiggy monkey.
On stage, Piccadilly, Tina and Ted try to catch George. Rabbits race past as the monkey rides a ball onto the middle of the stage. The audience, including two nuns, giggle as they watch George run rings around everyone on stage. Ted makes a grab for him, lands on the ball and squashes it.
Yours?
Yeah, he's a tad curious, that's all. His name's George.
George goes into the cabinet.
Come out, curious George.
George presses a button and falls through the trapdoor. He bounces on the mattress below. Piccadilly opens the door. George has disappeared.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Down below, George and the waterfowl bounce up and down on the mattress. Kayla makes a noise and George bounds over to pet the sad elephant. George tries to lift Kayla's mouth up into a smile, but even her ears droop. George spots a bucket full of peanuts. He tries unsuccessfully to juggle them.
I wanna be the smile. I wanna see the change. I wanna be your friend from the start. And once it starts, it never ends. I wanna be your pal. I wanna be around. I wanna be your friend when you are down. I wanna be the sunshine on your smiling face. I wanna be the boat. No, I wanna be the ocean, where all we do is float under the sun on the rolling sea.
He feeds Kayla peanuts, bends over and throws them to her from under his legs. She catches them with her trunk.
I wanna be the nighttime love.
lullaby when you're so afraid.
George balances on the bucket and falls in head first. Kayla's laughter causes the peanut shells to fall all over the waterfowl. She pulls the bucket off George's head and lifts him up with her trunk, swinging him back and forth.
George,
how are you?
Kayla swings George into a button that's on the wall. He rubs his head. They watch as a doorway opens onto the streets. They walk outside into the alleyway. Kayla lifts George onto her back with her trunk. George points out their way. And on turning, Kayla's flank presses another button on the outside, closing the door. The waterfowl is left behind, the discarded peanut shells strewn over the floor.
Kayla? Kayla? Kayla?
Security!
A camera flashes. An eye peers through a magnifying glass. Latex gloves are pulled on. Tweezers pinch a single hair. Peanut shells are bagged. A sample of fizzy drink is taken. A man in sunglasses uses a torch to determine hand, foot, and bird prints.
You think this innocent act of yours is fooling anyone, huh? You can go. For now. If you feel like coming clean, contact me. Dana Wolf. Head of security.
Hey, boss, I'm no expert, but I can't help but notice that none of these people has an elephant-sized bulge underneath their coats.
I suppose, Miss Fisher, you think that's clever. Hmm? But take away the elephant's water weight, and you're left with 25 pounds of minerals.
You think someone dehydrated the elephant?
A crime stuffer never rules out a possibility. Next?
I suggest no sudden moves. He's high strung.
Yes. The man with the mischievous monkey.
Not mischievous, just curious.
Where is he anyway?
Well, believe it or not, George has gone missing too.
Really?
It's not that strange. He probably wandered off. He does it all the time.
You know, maybe Kayla wandered off with George.
So, that's your story? Your monkey did it?
No, what? Ticklish, okay. You know, I bet they're just out having fun.
Fun? Kidnapping is fun to you? I suppose murder's just a party then, huh?
What? Murder?
International espionage, just another day at the beach?
No beach.
Wolf falls through the trapdoor.
Listen, yellow man, I've got my eye on you. Don't leave town.
He never does.
The local police claim a lost elephant is not their problem.
Does it matter? I've made it mine. I will find your hippo.
Elephant.
Oh, elephant. Sorry.
Baby elephant alone in the big city. She must be terrified.
Kayla follows George past Anne's bed and breakfast. Ivan the doorman is programming songs on his iPod.
Sinatra, ABBA, Tchaikovsky.
Outside the building, George pauses and scratches his head. He points to the revolving doors. An idea hits him. He drops into a handstand and enters the building. Kayla copies him, but has to squeeze through the revolving doors. She pops into the lobby, rolling into a seated position. The pair glance at Ivan. He's listening to his music, oblivious to the duo. The lift doors open. George pushes Kayla into the lift and then tries to push Kayla into Ted's apartment. This fails, so he uses her tail to tickle her feet. She wiggles and eventually enters, causing some of the plaster around the doorway to fall off. A news item on the television.
And it was here that this nightmare scenario first began.
Even the great Piccadilly, who makes his living causing things to vanish, is unable to explain this apparent sleight of hand. The magician acquired the elephant a few months ago. Kayla is seen here with her brother Tonga and sister Layla. Just a playful little elephant with no idea of the heart-rending drama that lies ahead of her. The elephant's original home was this animal park in California. Now animal lovers across the country can only wait and wonder what will become of her.
George? George, when I said no guests over without permission, I am pretty sure that included elephants.
This is Hark Hansen.
What were you thinking? Peanuts. Yes. Yes, of course. It makes total sense. Well, I better call Mr. Piccadilly and tell him.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Theater. To continue this call in Spanish, press 1. For Chinese, press 2. For Klingon, press cha. For a schedule of upcoming events, press 1. For a map, press 2. You've reached customer service.
Finally!
Our office hours are weekdays from 10 to 6. Please call back then.
Come on, George. We've got to take Kayla back home.
George pulls on Kayla's trunk. Kayla causes more damage to the plaster around the door as she leaves. Ted follows them, clutching his presentation under one arm. The door closes and falls off its hinges.
If we meet anyone, I'll do the talking. Not sure what I'll say. Any story that begins with my monkey and I is trouble.
Mr. Piccadilly, how does this unexplained, mysterious, near disastrous turn of events...
Hey, look!
...make you feel?
I've been imitated by idiots, pilloried by critics, and walked out on by Philistines. But stealing a man's elephant... That's just not done. Kayla is not only the star of my show, she's family.
Like an elephant could just walk away and no one would notice.
Tragedy and intrigue. Tonight, a special report on the elephant kidnapping.
George? Kayla?
This is Hark Hansen on the elephant hunt.
Having spotted a sign for California as Ted views Piccadilly's TV appearance through a store window, George and Kayla make their way down the street.
George? No!
Ted frantically follows the pair, but passing traffic stops him crossing the street. Arriving at Grand Central Station, a poster reads California Express. The duo enter the train station and view its magnificent forecourt. Ted searches the station, asking everyone he meets if they've seen them, and no one is manning the information booth. Ted is finally given directions. A train guard looks at his watch.
Typical. My list just says trunk. Who knew there'd be an elephant attached? Well, the boxcar is empty.
The pair step into the boxcar. It is mainly empty, except for a few bales of hay and some sacks. Ted arrives at the balcony above the trains. He looks up and down the platform below him, momentarily smiling on hearing a trumpet sound, only to discover it's a trumpet player busking. He then hears Kayla trumpeting in reply.
George, what are you doing here? Yeah, I know Kayla's an elephant. She has to go home.
Ted steps into the boxcar.
And so do we. I have a big presentation to prepare, and I haven't even begun to alphabetize. Okay, I'm putting my foot down, young monkey.
All aboard!
So get out of this car right now. There is no way we're riding a train tonight. Nuh-uh.
The door closes. They're locked in. The train leaves.
No, 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 wait, wait, Oh my gosh, there are no seatbelts. Help! We're trapped. Oh, great. I've gone from museum director to boxcar hobo. And look at my priorities. My poor, beautiful priorities. Does anybody see my pie charts?
It's stuck to Kayla's bottom. Ted's papers are all over the floor. George picks one up.
Never mind. I'll just recreate them. Wait, I have my phone. No, no signal. Come on, baby, give me some signal. Papa needs a new pair of bars. Come on, come on, come on. Wait, now there's two. Now there's three. Now there's none.
A horse-drawn, closed carriage travels along a country road. The train passes by. Silhouettes of trees are outlined in the night sky. Ted makes notes on his presentation, and George looks out of the window.
George, you're in my light. You've seen the moon before.
George flaps his arms.
Bird. Oh, flying. No, no, the moon isn't flying.
Ted gets up and makes his way over to the small window.
Oh, I see. Well, actually, that's an interesting illusion. See, the moon is far away and the trees are close, so we get a parallax effect where it's... Or, sometimes the man in the moon looks down, sees a little monkey he likes, and follows him.
Ooh!
Why don't you say goodnight to the moon and go sleep with Kayla? Goodnight, George.
George snuggles under Kayla's ear, using it as a blanket. A bird's eye view shows the train speeding through a patchwork quilt of pale blue fields. Lights shine inside the auditorium of the Metropolitan Theatre.
Come on in. We're all set up.
Brilliant. Extraordinary. Impressive array. Do they do anything?
Yeah. We've got security tapes, satellite tracking, thermal vision, wiretaps, fingerprint databases, spectral and DNA analysis, and, the theater organ.
This was the only room available on short notice.
But not to worry. Stand back and behold the future of crime stuffing.
He pulls a switch. The system's unplugged.
You forgot to plug in the future.
Whoops!
Lines surge and swirl across the monitors.
Oh, spot on, Mr. Wolf.
Dawn rises across the land. The train speeds along the tracks. Kayla's trunk curls and uncurls as she snores. Ted's head rests against a bale of hay and moves back and forth as he breathes. George pulls straw from the bale that he's sitting upon and he blows it away in time with the snoring. He picks up Ted's mobile phone and opens it. He puts the open phone on his head, pushes the buttons with his fist, and then pokes one with a finger.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Theatre. For Spanish, press 1. For Chinese, press 2. Yugane sing jido da di, cheng ne da, ni ga di mo.
He rubs the phone on his head. Kayla wakes up. George throws the phone to the floor. A small red bar flashes on the screen, warning of a depleted battery. Kayla greets George. She then pokes Ted's shoulder. She tugs at his ear. Finally, she places her trunk over his nose and blows air in.
Ah! No! Oh, Kayla! George! Train! Right.
Standing, he looks out of the window.
Wow! The Gateway Arch! This is St. Louis! When the train stops, we can yell for someone to let us out! We're going home!
The train rushes past a man sweeping a platform.
That was St. Louis. Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna freak out. My cell phone should work here. But it has a dead battery. Duh! Kayla? George? Cover your ears.
Okay.
Now I'm freaking out!
Miss Fisher, you should hear this.
It came into the call center as Chinese. Get a translator.
That's a monkey.
Don't be silly. Monkeys don't speak Chinese.
Beginning voice recognition.
We have a voice print match. It's a monkey.
Your powers of observation are dizzying.
Oh, dizzying. I like that. Yes, thank you, Miss Fisher.
There's no signal from the phone.
Let's review. Why would a Chinese-speaking monkey call, then disable the phone? Answer? Because he's taunting us. Miss Fisher, this may be the most devious monkey ever.
George is coloring in one of the illustrations on Ted's presentation.
Ah! George! What are you doing? This is my presentation to the board. I have to find a way out of here!
Ted reaches his arm out of the window, trying to reach the latch that will unlock the door.
Just another inch.
George climbs onto his shoulder to try and help.
The handle's too far. I'm sorry I yelled at you. It's just that these three little rings hold my entire career. My whole future is all in this binder.
George leans out of the window, back legs and tail wrapped around Kayla's trunk. Ted gathers the fallen pages together. The door opens. The papers fly around. Ted falls backwards out of the doorway. George catches hold of him, but a bush pulls him out of his grasp and flings him to the ground. George and Kayla are carried away.
I'm okay. I'm okay! I'll catch up with you, George! Promise!
A buzzard circles overhead. Ted walks along the train tracks. He takes off his hat to wipe his brow and notices Humbleton train station ahead of him. He races into the waiting room.
You've got to stop the California Express.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
No, sirree. The CE don't stop for nothing. For nobody, no one. Except for fuel and Grand Junction.
Listen, we're talking a genuine emergency here. My monkey and elephant and all my priorities are trapped in a boxcar headed to California. But I was bushwhacked, literally, and fell off the train and...
And you hit your head, I reckon?
Well, yes. But I... Oh, never mind. My cell phone is dead. I need to make a call.
I bet you do. Well, I figure I can charge your phone. Well, you're gonna have to call your monkey outside.
First, I'll call Piccadilly. Then, I'll catch up with the train.
You're saying my elephant was kidnapped by a monkey? I suppose he wants £20 in unmarked bananas.
Don't be fooled. I can read a criminal face. That monkey's a lifetime offender.
Probably started off kidnapping squirrels. That's the gateway animal.
For English, press 99.
Oh, come on, I'm running out of change.
Pilfered Pachyderm Unit.
Can I help you?
Hi! I have your elephant!
It's the kidnapper.
Beginning trace.
Okay, first, I want you to know she's okay.
Five seconds. Please deposit $2 for another minute.
I need more money.
What do they want?
You need money?
Yes, but your elephant is fine. Just fine.
Oh. Or $5 for 10 minutes.
Can I just...
And that includes a subscription to pay weekly.
I need that money! Oh, nuts.
Ted reaches for the dropped coin and the phone breaks.
Look, I'll talk fast. We'll be home soon and everything is going to be fine. Well, at least I got that covered.
It's a kidnapping, all right. But that was no monkey.
Nobody can fool you, Crime Stuffer Wolf.
The situation is worse than I thought. Our monkey has an accomplice.
Oh, my poor Kayla.
I suspect this man.
Ted's picture.
Blimey, I would never have believed it.
That's because you haven't taken the online Crime Stuffer correspondence course. I have.
It's true what they say. You don't appreciate your elephant till she's gone. You must get Kayla back.
Gotcha. The call came from a payphone in Humbleton, Colorado.
No taxi? No bus? No car for rent?
Well, let me see. Would you like the Bentley or the Lamborghini?
Don't you have any form of transportation?
Just my bike.
Ted rides the rickety motorcycle beside the tracks. The train travels onwards over a bridge. Kayla is looking out of the doorway, and George is sat on the roof of the moving train. A tantalizing smell wafts past George's nose. He turns and begins to follow it. Ted is negotiating a rocky road and spies the train passing in the distance. On the roof of the train, George is making his way towards the galley. A chef pulls baking buns out of an oven and places all but three of them in a basket. He changes his chef's hat for a red beret and leaves the compartment. George swings in through the skylight. He gathers up two buns, places a bunch of grapes on his head, along with some bananas. Grabbing two melons, he drops a bun, and the bananas slide off his head. Looking around him, he spies the chef's hat hanging up. Meanwhile, the waiter distributes the piping hot buns to the passengers sat at tables. He then returns to the galley, removes his beret, and reaches for his missing chef's hat. Back on the roof, George drags the heavily laden hat back to the boxcar. He slides down the doorway with the hat on his head. Kayla lifts it up and the stolen food rolls onto the floor. The chums begin to eat. Looking up from taking a bite, George watches Kayla juggle the buns. George throws her a melon. Ted approaches the train on his borrowed motorcycle.
George! George!
He races ahead towards a bridge. Bits of the bike begin to fall off and the brakes refuse to work. Ted tumbles downwards. Ted reaches and grabs his hat as he falls. Kayla grabs Ted's leg and pulls him into the safety of the boxcar. George slides down Kayla's trunk into Ted's arms.
No one has ever been happier to see his monkey. And elephant. Thanks, Kayla.
Her trunk squeezes him.
I missed you too.
A moose watches the train pass.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Theater.
Pick up, pick up.
Security.
ETA, Miss Fisher?
10 minutes closer than the last time you asked me.
Coffee much, Miss Fisher?
Oh, hang on. We're picking up the cell phone signal again from the same coordinates as the payphone.
Bingo! I've got the corner.
Wolf arrives by yellow taxi at Humbleton Station. He checks out the broken phone line. Glancing inside, he notices the station master has Ted's phone.
Free!
He slips on the wet floor. The phone drops.
Horse feathers! Look what you did!
What are you doing with that phone?
Nothing. Now that you made me break it.
I mean, where did you get it?
From some guy.
Is this the man?
He holds up a black and white wanted sign.
Hard to say.
He colors the figure's clothing with yellow.
How about now?
Yep, that's him. Strange fella. He was chasing after the California Express.
Oh, and where is that train going?
California. But she does stop in Grand Junction.
Really? You're always one step ahead of me. But I'm on to you now, and I'm closing in.
Mister, are you talking to that picture?
I've got a train to catch.
Kayla juggles as the others eat breakfast. The door to the boxcar is open.
Hey, she's getting good. You guys been practicing? Oh, sure. Kayla can probably handle one more, right, Kayla?
He throws her an orange.
George!
George throws her more and more fruit. She staggers back and forth with a worried expression on her face. Ted hurriedly closes the door.
My binder!
She stomps on the presentation folder, falls over, and causes the train's coupling to part.
Say, we're picking up speed!
The rear carriages speed down the sloping track towards a moose chomping grass on the tracks. It leaps out of the way, pushing a lever that causes the train to veer off in another direction, throwing the chums around.
Oh boy!
Kayla hurtles towards Ted and George. They narrowly escape getting squashed. They pass through a dark tunnel where only their eyes are shown. The door to the boxcar continually closes and reopens as the train and the chums inside slide back and forth over a U-shaped piece of track. The train eventually stops in the middle.
I may need some time to process that.
So hold on, here we go.
They're stranded in the middle of nowhere. Wolf and two heavies rush onto the platform of Grand Station. One holds a net.
You get the elephant. The monkey and the man with the yellow hat are mine.
Well, what do you know? 14 minutes early.
Hello, Wolf. Security. Where's the elephant?
Held up high above the ground by a heavy, the guard points to the end of the train.
Where's the rest of my train? I don't know what's worse, blowing my career or having a blister on my toe the size of Texas. Okay, Rhode Island. Come on, guys, stop goofing around. Seriously, if you're not careful...
Kayla swings George around.
That might happen.
George is flung away. He lands on a road sign reading East Route 6. It spins around. A passing truck causes it to spin even faster. It eventually stops, pointing the wrong way. George hops off.
What? You think that's funny? You could have really gotten hurt. We should be looking for a road, and instead you're... George, you found a road! Oh. Okay, a road! We just catch a ride east and we are on our way.
The team stick out their thumbs and trunk to try and hitch a ride.
Okay, this is gonna be hard. Or not.
They get into the back of a pickup truck. A television screen shows the caption, "A few minutes of fame with Hawk Hansen."
As part of our round-the-clock elephant napping special coverage, I'm pleased to have the great Piccadilly, the traumatized victim. These past 24 hours have been hard on all of us, though perhaps even more so for you. Your naked suffering on display before a watching, waiting world while... You wonder who's made off with your elephant.
Well,
I mean, here you are, powerless, while your elephant is in the hands of, well, who knows?
Who knows? I know.
Yeah.
It's these two.
He presents a picture of Ted and George. In the back of the traveling truck, George snuggles up to Kayla wearing the yellow hat. Ted joins them. A monkey pulls a banner. Monkey on the Run with Hawk Hansen.
America is mad. Let's hear you speak out.
What kind of monster would take an elephant?
Oh, elephant stealers should go to jail for like a million years.
I know, Ted.
Huh?
He's a good man. There must be some explanation.
Ted wakes up and stretches.
You know, despite everything, it's been kind of nice getting away. Still, it'll be good to get back to California's best? Avocados? Surfers? We're in California!
George wakes Kayla up. In a puff of gray exhaust fumes, the trio are dropped by the roadside.
Why didn't someone tell me we were going in the wrong direction? Aren't animals supposed to have instincts about this stuff?
Caption, the Network News.
Welcome back to the Network News with Hark Hansen. It's time to hear what the suspected elephant napper's employer has to say.
I don't understand it. Ted's the most honest man I know. He once walked 3 miles to return change to a customer. Oh, wait, that was Abraham Lincoln.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bloomsbury.
The trio come across a car stuck in the mud.
Come on.
Kayla and George push the car forwards.
Hey there. Can we help?
We?
Is that an elephant?
Well, I'll be.
Is that a monkey?
That's George.
That's Anna.
Any way I can thank you, mister? Well, can I use your phone? Yes, she's about 2 tons. That's right. And I'll have to pay you later. I left town unexpectedly. Well, it's a long story.
Farmer Dan's moving bales of hay.
One more.
A forkful lands on Ted's head. George runs along the barn's rafters, chasing birds. He swings down on a pulley.
Well, the good news is... I found a freight company that will ship Kayla back home. The bad news is they charge by the pound, and they can't come until tomorrow.
Well, then it looks like we've got house guests.
Anna and George jump down into the pile of hay.
They're having a pretty good time.
They climb back up to jump back down again.
That's my girl. Seems like it's your turn, Ted.
Me? Oh, no. No, jumping into hay from a great height is not my idea of... Whoa!
George pushes him.
Ooh. Hey, that wasn't so bad.
George jumps on Ted.
Okay, I could have lived without that, though.
George hops over a fence to meet a cow. Kayla crashes through it. Ted regards the broken pieces... The cow regards George, who jumps backwards. Ted scoops him up in his arms. The cow licks Ted.
Far away. Oh, yuck. Cares are blowing in the wind just for a day.
long enough to catch our breath and come alive.
George watches Anna milk a cow. She squirts some into his mouth. Kayla drinks from the bucket and drenches everyone.
Everything is fine. One step at a time to find our way to the heart of the day.
George, those are dirty. They should be washed and sanitized and pasteurized and...
He stuffs berries into Ted's mouth.
These are amazing. It's like there's a party in my mouth.
An angry pig appears from the bushes and chases George around.
With the wind, but there's no finish line. We're getting lost along the way, and everything is fine. Just step outside ourselves, and suddenly we see this is where we ought to be. Everything is fine, just taking one step at a time.
George feeds the pig the picked berries from the bucket. It wags its tail. George and Ted pet the pig.
One step at a time to find our way. To the heart of the day.
George and Anna jump in the river.
Come on, Ted!
Come on!
Ted swings on a rope and splashes in. Kayla jumps in, causing a tidal wave that lifts everyone onto the bank. George lies on his back and spits out water.
The heart of the day.
Where's my bathing suit?
Evening falls. Everyone gathers on the veranda.
Oh, what a day. I haven't had this much fun since, well, probably the week I first met George. Remember?
Nodding, George puts Ted's hat on.
Yes? Peekaboo? Chased by a rhino, bitten by giant bugs. Good times. The paper's here. George loves the comics. Be my guest. Oh my gosh. Look, they've got a story about Kayla. California Animal Park. Kayla came from the California Animal Park? And these other two elephants are her brother and sister? You knew all that before, didn't you, George?
Uh-huh.
That's why you brought us to California. So Kayla could see her family.
George hugs Kayla's trunk.
Hey, look! They've got a picture of you and George, too!
Huh? Elephant nappers at large? What? That's impossible! I called! It was taken care of!
Bloomsbury?
Ted? Where are you? People think you stole an elephant.
I know, it's crazy.
George and Anna ride Kayla.
Well, it's a little crazy.
The museum's swarming with people. Everyone's looking for you.
For me?
And George. It's all over the news.
But I called.
Oh. Do you think this will affect the board's decision?
Forget the board! You may go to jail!
Jail?!
The trio are being tracked on Worf's surveillance system.
Ooh, I gotcha!
Listen, Mr. Bloomsbury, I'll get this all straightened out. We'll be home tomorrow, I promise!
So, you're not taking Kayla to see her family?
I never was. I can't.
George bounds over to Ted.
I'm sorry, George.
George holds up the newspaper. Missing elephant in happier times.
George, listen to me, okay? I know you want Kayla to see her family, but Mr. Piccadilly has been looking for her and wants her back. No, George. We're in big trouble. The big legal go directly to jail, do not pass go kind. Don't you understand? I know you didn't mean to get us into this mess, but you have. And it ends now.
Anna pets Kayla's trunk.
Look, Look, I'm sorry. I just don't have any other choice.
George and Kayla walk away.
Still friends?
The pair walk away towards a tree.
Love endures.
Come on, Anna. Let's get ready for bed.
Okay.
When asked to leave, it begs to stay.
Anna regards Ted before entering the house. He despondently sits down and watches George sitting on Kayla's head under the tree.
With the rhymes, so let your troubles roll by.
He picks up the newspaper and enters the house. Once indoors, Ted sorts out his papers. He regards the newspaper picture showing the Californian animal park and his picture with George underneath.
Someone somewhere's out on their own, but they're losing the way as they make their way home. And he fears the dream will freeze if it's left alone in the cold. Where does the time go? He plays it safe, he's in slow motion to keep in touch with the lost emotion.
He looks out of his bedroom window at George and Kayla sleeping under the tree. A cockerel sits on a pig's head and caws into his ear. Ted strolls outside and stretches. Farmer Dan is chopping wood.
Morning, Dad.
Sleep well?
Not a wink. Do you suppose they'll let me keep my hat in prison?
Hang in there, Ted. I figure this mess will get straightened out.
You think? But then what? What museum is going to hire a famous fugitive from justice as their director?
You sure do worry a lot.
Well, let's see. I'm wanted in 24 states. I'm hated in all 50. My career's down the toilet, and George and I will end up on the streets with a tin cup playing the hurdy-gurdy. You bet I'm worried.
He chops wood.
Yep. Guess you're right. Can't get any worse than that.
Right.
George is sat up the tree. Kayla raises her trunk to stroke and tickle his back. She gently lifts him down.
Yeah, can't get any worse.
Guess not.
Kayla chases George.
Wait up!
So, what am I worried about?
He chops more wood.
Come on, George! Come on, Kayla! If we're gonna make it to the animal park, we'd better get moving!
Yay!
Why not? If things can't get any worse, they can only get better, right? Woo! So let's have an elephant family reunion! Okay, I'm happy too! I'm happy!
The park's just beyond the Golden Gate Bridge. This ain't good.
A red and yellow helicopter lands.
Nobody move.
Mr. Wolf, I'm so glad you're here. Finally, we can clear this up.
I told you not to leave town.
I tried not to, believe me. You know, it's a funny
Quiet.
Story, really.
Don't worry, Kayla. Dan-O Wolf is in charge now.
George jumps onto Kayla's head.
Out of my way, banana breath.
Leave him alone.
Go ahead. I've taken a late-work internet course in karate.
Hey, no!
Hang on, Anna.
The pig squeezes out of his pen and knocks Wolf sky high.
Oh, please, that'll trick.
He lands in the water barrel.
Pilot, do something!
That's step four, boss.
Kayla approaches the helicopter cabin in a threatening manner. The pilot lifts off and flies away. George hugs Kayla.
You're all in my custody now. Don't make me come out of this barrel.
Sorry, Mr. Wolf. I made a promise to my monkey. I'm taking Kayla to see her family.
My backup.
You have to hide. Now!
Not so easy with an elephant, a monkey, and a bright yellow suit. I've got an idea. Come on.
The sheriff, a fire engine, and a truck arrive. They pass the trio, who have been stuffed into an old yellow bus. Kayla's legs are sticking out of the bottom. She uses them to move the bus along the road. A bird flies overhead. Wearing the yellow bus, Kayla carries the chums over the Golden Gate Bridge. She runs along a fir tree flanked road.
California Animal Park, next left. Great! Kayla, look out!
They crash through the sign and are thrown out of the bus. It comes to a standstill at a bus stop where three children are waiting. They tentatively look inside. The children watch Kayla pass them, carrying George and Ted on her back. She suddenly stops and they fall off. The entrance to the animal park lies ahead of them.
Come on, George! Hi, folks. Here is your complimentary mug.
Apparently she knows the way.
They crash through the entrance barrier and past the welcome sign.
That's gonna cost us.
Knocking things out of her way, Kayla runs through the flamingos standing in their pool. A hippo looks out of the water as they all pass by. Kayla deposits the goodbye sign she's wearing in the lion's den. She leads them past a picnic area and knocks a hot dog stand to one side. She finally finds her brother and sister and they lovingly interlock trunks. Ted and George observe them.
She sure was homesick. You know, coming here was a good idea, George. It was all worth it for this. Okay, I could have lived without the driving off a cliff, but I had the best time of my life. Thanks to you, George.
Rogue elephant! Stop her!
No, she's harmless! Kayla, look out!
Wolf captures Kayla in a net. Ted is manhandled away by two heavies, and George is handcuffed to Wolf.
Your crime spree ends here, monkey. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, chitter, can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Wolf drags him away. Kayla is left bound in the net on the ground. Her brother and sister gaze sadly at her from behind a rock archway. An aeroplane soars above the clouds. Ted and George are locked in one cage, Kayla in another.
We'll be on the ground soon. George, when we land, some policemen are going to come and... Well, I'm probably going to have to go away for a while. But don't worry. Maggie will take good care of you. I promise.
George shrugs his shoulders and regards his handcuffs.
I don't want to leave you either, pal.
Leaning forwards, they touch heads.
Aw, the elephant kidnappers are having a moment. Now I'm supposed to get all mushy and let you go. You see this? Not an ounce of mush.
What do you want?
Me? Nothing. I have everything I could ever possibly need. You? The elephant? Even this. Would the monkey like a nice yellow banana? If you can get it, it's yours.
He dangles it just out of reach.
Stop that!
He puts it in his pocket.
There. Go ahead.
He throws Kayla an apple.
The man and the monkey can't hurt you now.
George steals the banana and eats it.
What? You are a worthy opponent, monkey.
He bows and then steps over the discarded banana skin.
You're gonna have to do better than that to get the best of me. Dan O'Wolf, apprentice, P.I.
George holds up the keys.
Nice going, George. We still need a plan. We gotta reach Piccadilly before the plane lands. Let him know this is just a big misunderstanding.
George and Kayla hug. Searching around him, Ted spies a package illustrated with a parachute attached to a car. The cargo hold on the plane begins to open.
What's that?
Cargo door probably popped open. Again.
I'll secure it.
Below the clouds, New York City buildings are the size of dolls' houses. Ted reaches towards a cord hanging on Kayla's side.
After you jump, just give it a pull.
Uh-oh.
Kayla tucks the cord and opens the parachute.
Huh? Stop!
No!
The wind picks up the parachute and Kayla flies out of the plane. Wolf rushes towards them and slips on the banana skin.
Go!
Ted and George jump. Wolf pulls up just at the edge of the plane. Furious, he also jumps. Realizing he hasn't got a parachute, he frantically flaps his arms and then begins to run downwards. He grabs onto Ted's legs. George flaps his arms around, pretending to fly.
Mr. Wolf!
Head security.
George! Pull the ring beside you!
The parachute opens. Wolf desperately hangs on to Ted's leg. He starts to slip, climbs up the trousers and grabs hold of the belt. It gives way. The trousers drop to Ted's ankles. He's wearing yellow underpants.
Losing my grip here!
Hang on just a bit longer!
They approach Central Park.
About to plummet!
Wolf drops into a lake. Ted and George land nearby. The parachute covers them.
I jumped from a plane without a parachute and survived. I am awesome.
Kayla lands on top of him.
Oh. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it?
Hey, can't see.
Didn't think the whole no parachute thing through, huh? Come on, we've got to get to the theater, George.
Oh, no, you don't!
Kayla's parachute strings pull him backwards. The trio race through the park.
Hey, wait for me!
They arrive back at the theater and let themselves in through the doorway that Kayla and George left through. The waterfowl greets them all with affection.
We must be under the stage.
Kayla jumps onto the mattress below the magic cabinet.
And now, for my final feat of magic, I shall produce from thin air a waterfowl.
The audience of four politely clap.
Oh, who am I kidding? There's no such thing as magic. How it works is there are a bunch of levers and pulleys and a dumb little button. You push it and...
In a puff of smoke, the cabinet explodes to reveal Kayla. Ted and George sit on her back.
Kayla! Oh my! Is it you?
It is magic!
I have you now, monkey.
Wolf swings into the wings of the theater.
Oh, guess who's back?
Wolf stalks George.
No monkey makes a chimp out of me.
Kayla grabs him, throws him into the air, and then catches him. Using her trunk, she juggles him, then slides him along the floor towards the trapdoor. Piccadilly presses the button. Wolf falls through and lands on the mattress below.
What am I doing wrong?
I think you need to work on your people skills.
Ooh. I bet they have an internet course for that.
Ted looks at his watch.
Oh, boy.
I'm late for the board meeting.
The curtain falls.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am really dedicated to this museum, but between going cross-country with my monkey, falling off a train, biking off a cliff, and leaping from an airplane with an elephant, well, you know what that's like. Maybe not. It's just, I got my priorities all mixed up. Or maybe they were mixed up before. Because I've learned more from one little monkey than I ever figured out from all my multicolored pie charts.
He throws the folder in the bin.
This is what matters. Families, friends, loved ones. People coming together. It's my top priority, and it should be this museum's. We'll sponsor living history days. Young, old, father, son. All for one, one for all days. We'll share our past, our present, our hopes, plans, and dreams. Also, I have a few ideas for some cafeteria specials.
Hole in one! Congratulations, Mr. Director.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bloomsbury. Thank you very much. But I owe it all to George.
George flies a kite made out of the presentation papers.
Whoa! Hang on, George!
George sits on Ted's shoulders to stop him flying away. Maggie lays out a picnic in the middle of Central Park. Kayla and her family arrive.
Live a life less ordinary, live a life extraordinary with me.
Well, look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Live a life less sedentary, live a life...
George hugs Kayla. The three elephants join trunks. They throw George into the air and catch him again. Piccadilly and Tina arrive.
Cheers.
You're here. All of us.
Tonga and Layla visiting?
Visiting? They've joined my act. Now Kayla has her family, and my act has three times the magic.
A gust of wind picks up Ted's hat.
My hat!
Curiosity, search around to find something different every time.
George chases after it. It lands on a pigeon who tries to fly away. The hat mysteriously hovers above the ground.
Every path we go. Day you came into my life, well it took the phone to me, took the phone to me. You blew away my storm and storm.
Using a wooden spoon, George taps the rim. The pigeon flies out. George puts the hat on. The pigeon flies up into the sky. The end.